The Fourth Crusade. One of the most, without a doubt, it's the most corrupt of all the Crusades. It took place in 1198 to 1204, and never gets to the Holy Land. And actually, the only people they end up fighting are fellow Christians, ending up with the conquest of Constantinople in 1204 and the creation of a short-term Latin kingdom. So how in the world did that happen? Well, it started out seemingly okay. This was not preached initially by the Pope. The Pope at this time is Innocent III, who is both the greatest of the medieval popes from the standpoint of gaining power for the papacy, but he's also a disaster in that he abuses the political power to the point that it begins a decline of church power as well. I mean, he excommunicated a huge number of people. And the crusade itself will be excommunicated twice before it's all over and done with. So it's unusual. It was originally preached by a couple of men. One of them is Fulk of Neuilly, who is very, very successful. And then there's another gentleman, Abbot Martin of Paris. Now, Abbot Martin went to Germany and preached and couldn't get a lot of takers. However, Fulk of Neuilly was superb. And the main reason he is so successful is because he finds the right person. He is able to convince Count Tybalt to take up the cross. And that leads to the gathering of a large number of French forces who are following Tybalt. And it's at this point that Innocent III decides that, well, this appears this is taking place. I think I'll give it my support. So Tybalt and Fulk and Abbot Martin then head to Venice. Unfortunately, Venice has just recently concluded a trade agreement with Egypt, with the Egyptian Sultan. And everyone was, the Venetians had heard rumors that if there was another crusade, it wasn't going to the Holy Land, it was going to go to Egypt. So they were going to worry about it until people show up. Well, Tybalt had sent people ahead to start the arrangement process. And the Venetians certainly aren't going to turn money down, because even in the previous crusades, they may take the crusaders to the Holy Land and then drop on down to Egypt and pick up spices. So those ships aren't going back and forth full one way and empty another. They're making money both directions. Now, the leader of Venice at this time, the Doge, is a man named Enrique Dandolo. Now, the Doge appears to be a very powerful figure, but he is the leader of the wealthiest families in Venice, and so it's kind of a figurehead position that appears to have a great deal of power, but of course there's a lot of discussion with the other leaders in court as to what is going to go on. He also is blind in one eye, a result of altercation in Constantinople on one of his earlier missions prior to becoming Doge. Well, anyway, the folks, people, and whatever show up. Unfortunately, the main character here, Count Tybalt, who is a very religious person, dies before the crusade gets off on any kind of footing. And he's replaced by Boniface of Montferrat, which appears to be a good guy, but he's got other agenda. And although they brought a lot of money with them, you know what? It just ended up that there just wasn't quite enough money to afford the cost of taking everyone over to the Holy Land. So what we have here is we have the manipulation of the crusade by the Venetians, and then later on by other people. And what happens is the Venetians say, look, we understand you're a little short on money. But I tell you what, there's a group of people who have been bothering our trade at the town of Zara. if you will attack the town of Zara, which is on the Yugoslavian coast, and destroy it, then we'll consider everything even and take you over. Of course, they were not informed that the citizens of Zara were just regular Christian competitors of Venice. And so they will go down and begin attacking the city, at which point Pope Innocent III says, "What are you doing? You shouldn't do that. I'm excommunicating you for this at this point." It's at the attack on Zara that we then get the rest of the characters involved, and that is Prince Alexis IV. Now, he's the son of the former emperor of the Byzantines, who was removed by that gentleman's brother. So Alexis III is the king at this particular time of Constantinople. And of course, after the Battle of Zara, after the city is captured and everything is successful and the Crusaders figure out what has taken place, there's a process of, you know, let's have some forgiveness here, and an accommodation is worked out with Innocent III. And then Alexis and several other of his retainers then convince Boniface and others that what they need to do is, if they will put him back on the throne, they make it look like he's the rightful. I mean, it was his father that was removed, so he does have a claim to the throne of Constantinople, to the Byzantine Empire. So if you'll put me back on the throne, then I will give the Venetians plenty of money, I will give the Pope plenty of money, and then, of course, the kicker on this is, say, there'd been a split in the Christian church between the Greek Orthodox and the Roman Catholic Church prior to the First Crusade taking place. And he also intimates that, hey, you know, when I'm back on the throne, we'll just fix everything up and the Pope can be in charge of the whole thing again. So they then end up going to the city of Constantinople. Some of the troops are let in. Fighting begins. And to make a long battle short, the old emperor is removed. Alexis is put on the throne, and then he can't provide the money and stuff that he said he could, and the whole place is taken over by the Crusaders. He's removed, and they're excommunicated again. So we have what we have in the case of the Fourth Crusade, and this is something that frequently is forgotten. You know, motivation can be religious, but the people in charge have ulterior motives. Religion tends to be an excuse for somebody to do something that they really shouldn't be. And it's the essence of, there's religion as the belief of an individual person, and then there's religion as a political power because of the number of people that you can mobilize. But it's not necessarily Christian teaching. We have politicians, corrupt popes, and others that are misleading the flock, if you will, to do this. Now, usually after the Third Crusade, there isn't much discussion of the other crusades because frequently they're just disasters. And there is no greater disaster, other than the Children's Crusade, than this Fourth Crusade. And what we have is the leaders of it are manipulating it for various reasons, and then, of course, trying to buy off everybody. Well, we're eventually going to go and fight the Muslims, but we need to do this at this particular time. So it's just awful. And actually, when they finally do take over Constantinople, there's this three-day massacre, which forever split the Eastern and Western Christians. At this particular point, and it ended. So it is a disaster for, I guess it's not a disaster for Venice. They made some money on the deal, but everybody else, it's a disaster. As far as sources, this has been actually a little difficult for me to do because one of the sources is a major paper that I did called The Fourth Crusade, The Political Motivation Leading to the Sack of Constantinople. So one of them is my Well, that's not monstrous. What, 25, 30 pages? Yeah. Some of the books, Chronicles of the Crusade. Now, these are eyewitness accounts. It's one of the few that survives, by Jeanville and Villehardouin. There's the Runciman's, The Byzantine Civilization, as well as Runciman's History of the Crusades, Volume 2 and Volume 3. And then there's another one, which is a translation of the primary source for some of this besides Jeanville and Villehardouin is from Robert of Clary. And his book is The Three Old French Chronicles of the Crusade. And that was translated by Stone. So, and then of course there's the variety of books that I mentioned before on other crusade topics. So I hope you enjoyed that. This was a question that came up when I asked for questions, but it's far too complicated to do in a question and answer period. So I thought I'd answer the question as to why the Fourth Crusade never made it to the Holy Land as its podcast all to itself. So thank you very much. Don't forget to come by SummaHistorica.com. And thank you very much. Have a nice day.